Hare Krishna. So we are starting once again on 6th of January 2014. This is second part by His Grace Padmanabhan Prabhu on chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita addressing to Bhakti Shastri devotees. Hare Krishna.
Jiva and Prakriti is being explained. This is explained from text number 20 through 26. Text number 20. Can somebody read the text and translation?
Anadi Vapatin Vita Matyatinam Chaiva Vidi Prakriti Sambhavan. Material nature and the living entity should be understood to be beingless. Their transformation and the most of matter are product of material nature.
Prakritiṃ Purusam Chaiva Vidhyanadi Uvabhati. This Prakriti and Purusa, they are anadi. Right? Means? Beginningless. Beginningless means? Did they exist before this creation? Yes. Yes, they exist. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada, he is explaining in his purport, maybe somebody should read from this Gita, if I didn't put that into slide, that's why I am asking you to read from proper purport. If you go to page number 664, from the bottom of the purport, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 line, from the bottom, if you say, it really does not matter. Can you follow me?
Yes.
Okay, so read, please read that part.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, go to text, page number 664.
I'm on 587, the text one.
588.
588. Okay. Yeah. Please read this. Yeah.
It really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows, however, how and why this actually took place. In the scriptures, the Lord says that those attracted by this material nature are undergoing a hard struggle for existence. But we should know it with certainty from the descriptions of these few verses that all transformations and influences of material nature by the three modes are also productions of material nature. All transformations and varieties in respect to living entities are due to the body. As far as spirit is concerned, living entities are all the same.
So Srila Prabhupada is explaining to us that sometimes devotees, they start too much worrying about how, you know, I am here, what happened to me. But rather than thinking about how you came here in the first place, you think about how you can get out from here, from this situation. So that is what is being explained, and this concept is very elaborately explained starting from text number 21. कार्यकारणकर्तृत्वे हेतुः प्रकृतिरुच्यते पुरुषः सुखदुःखानां भक्तृत्वे हेतुरुच्यते. Read this translation.
Nature itself is the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world.
Where did you
Where did you find such kind of text in Bhagavad Gita? Similar kind of text? Prakriti ekriyamanani gunai karmani karvasa. Okay. And if you go to, can you open to text number 30 of this chapter? What does it say? Prakriti vachakarmani. There you are saying Prakriti ekriyamanani. प्रकृतिवचकर्माणि कार्यकारणप्रकृति हेतु प्रकृति उच्यते देन अनदर प्लेस इज नान्यं गुणेभ्य कर्तारम् देयर इज नो अदर ड्यूअर एक्सेप्ट द गुण हियर द प्रकृति कैन स्टैम गुण अ प्रकृति सो इट सीम्स लाइक हु इज द डूअर हु इज द एजेंट जीव और प्रकृति Now there is some difference of opinion. Some say jiva, some say prakriti, some say both. No, prakriti didn't say. Nobody said prakriti.
The jiva has a desire, and the prakriti has actually happened with the prakriti. But the jiva might have a desire.
Very good. So when it is said, karja karana kartrite hetu prakriti uchyate, how can you make me understand that actually prakriti is not doing, but I am doing? Can you give me some kind of an analogy to understand this? If you want to come, you have to give a class to me, and I am asking, so your Gita says, you know, prakriti ekriyamanani, prakriti evachakarmani, everywhere Gita directly speaking about prakriti is doing, and you are saying, no, jiva is doing. So how can you make me understand, actually, prakriti is not doer, jiva is doing, jiva is fulfilling his desire.
Prakriti is assessed as a mode of material nature. Material nature is influencing the jiva to act in a certain way.
Yes, correct.
If you were just like Prakriti Kriyamanani, if he was bewildered by the false ego, he thinks that he's doing something. Actually, he's in the doer, because in the 18th chapter, the five factors of action, one of them, but he's influenced by the mode of material nature, so that he thinks that...
Oh wait, is this too philosophical for
me? Can I give you practical
examples? Yes, I give some practical examples.
Can we see Srimad Shaka Prabhu?
No.
Yes.
You are asking. Yeah, yeah. Now this is moving.
Yeah.
Who is responsible for this?
Who is responsible for this? Definitely that hand is responsible.
Hand or I am responsible for this? So immediate cause is me.
Yeah.
And the ultimate cause is the...
Okay. Thank you. Okay, if I am carrying this book in my hand, who is carrying this book? Me and hand. Yeah. Actually, I want to carry this book. Because I want to carry this book, therefore Paramatma, who is situated in my heart, he is ordering this prakriti. Hand. Okay, you please carry this book. So then this hand is carrying the book. Actually, when Krishna says, Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohananta, everything is coming from him. Actually, everything is being conducted under his supervision. And Prakriti is doing. In that way, Prakriti is not the agent. He is just, instrument, you can say. He is the instrument. He is helping Jiva to satisfy his desire. Very simple thing. Very good. You have got very nice understanding. Nice.
So I have a question on
this. Oh, yeah.
Previous world. Text 20.
Yeah.
The last paragraph, fourth line. That is, both the living entity and the material nature existed before this cosmos was manifested. My understanding was that the cosmos itself is a material nature, so how can material nature exist even before creation?
Here what it says is, you have to understand like this, Prakriti Purusham Chaiva. When you say Prakriti, 24 elements, right? So these 24 elements are Krishna's energy. When Krishna is eternal, then the energy also is eternal. This material manifestation, this cosmos, what we see with our eyes, it appears and disappears. That is, the balaya and creation. So, even though sometimes it becomes manifest and sometimes it remains unmanifest, doesn't matter, still it exists. In unmanifest state, it lies in the body of Mahavishnu. And when the next day of Brahma begins, then they come out from the body of Mahavishnu and that of creation begins. So this is Mahavishnu. They always exist.
So is that a Sanskrit term for the word cosmos? Because I'm confused with the Prakriti is cosmos, or Prakriti, cosmos is a manifestation of Prakriti. Is that right understanding?
Oh, okay. here what I see is, this material manifestation is in the right. Okay? So then, in text number 22, पुरुषः प्रकृतिस्थो हि भुङ्क्ते प्रकृतिजान् गुणान् कारणं गुणसङ्गस्य सत् असत् योनि जन्मसु. सो पुरुषः दि लिविङ्ग् एन्टिटी ही इज यूजिङ्ग् दिस् मेटर् एण्ड् ही इज एन्जॉयिङ्ग् Yes, Prabhuji.
Associating with the different modes of human nature.
Desires and activities.
Desires and activities. The Prabhupada, he is saying in his purport about these desires. If you see, yeah, in 666, from top you can see. Text number 21. Who has brought this book? I am following
page
this.
Number is different.
Okay. Page number is different. Where it says, in the middle of the purport, you can see, according to one's desires and activities.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Material nature places one in various residential quarters. So, Jiva, he desires, that's how he is given different residential quarters. That is the cause, his desires and activities. Thank you. You have read Prabhupada's purport very nicely. Thank you, Prabhuji. Okay, so then, how long has that been going on?
It don't remember.
How long?
Eternally.
Eternally?
If we have no association with Krishna.
Anadi karma phale padi bhavar navajale. Anadi. When there is no adi, there is no beginning, how can you say, you know, when? That question is meaningless, right? It's anadi. This is very difficult to figure out. How can you change this? So we know we are in this situation. So how we can improve or we can change our situation? Means how we can free ourselves. Michael?
Sure, how we got here. got different bodies because of our desires and activities, so we change the desires, we purify the desires and activities. We spiritualize our desires.
We spiritualize our desires and activities. How you want to spiritualize your desire and activities?
That's through dovetailing them in Krishna consciousness.
By dovetailing them in Krishna consciousness. Are you yourself is qualified enough to understand how to dovetail everything in Krishna consciousness? Can you do it by applying your own intelligence, mind?
No.
So what do you do?
Guru
Sadhana Shastra. So this is the only way to change. Many a times we have seen some devotees, even though staying in the moment quite long time, because of not following Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, they develop some sort of understanding of their own and they start to guide their life in that philosophy. Then after a while you find them, you know, either living ISKCON or living even, you know, practice of spiritual activities. The same devotee was in the movement quite, you know, for 20, 30 years. Today you find he is walking in the street and he is committing all kinds of sins. Why? Because he is not following the Acharya, Sadhu Guru Shastra. There is no Sadhu Guru Shastra in his life. So it's very important. Yes, Prabhupada is saying, we have to follow that. I think, okay, before we go. Yes, Prabhupada. Yes, yeah.
They decide that I am the enjoyer and
the controller. Yeah. It seems like, you know, we are quite well with this philosophy, right? We have been hearing so many times about, you have to give up the desire of, you know, you are not the doer, you are not the enjoyer. You know, every time you go to class, almost, you know, every second day, you hear from the devotee speaking this same philosophy. But is it acting upon us?
You're actually living or not?
Yes, Guruji.
It depends on whether you're actually, I mean, if you really imbibe that teaching, I mean, you know, both said that like Krishna is the enjoyer, you know, but we don't we really act in that manner.
Can somebody tell me some kind of, you know, nice trick, how actually I can be convinced that in every aspect of my life I will accept, yes, Krishna is the enjoyer, I am not the enjoyer, I am not the doer, Krishna is the guiding force behind everything. He is the controller, I am not.
So the question is, there some way to prove that?
Yeah. How can I remind myself? Just one sentence, yeah.
You must stop being the doer and become the servant.
I must stop being the doer and become the servant. How can I perpetuate this understanding with me?
Only through the association with it.
You want to say something?
Same
thing. Very good. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. He said, so the association of the sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva sattva, sarva matte, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi. So the point is, when you come and associate with the sense personality, what happens? The sense personality is there carrying Bhakti Devi in their heart. And this Bhakti Devi, who is sitting in the heart of that pure devotee, she is just waiting a signal from that devotee. Means when the devotee, pure devotee, he becomes pleased with you automatically. The Bhakti Devi, she herself makes transformation from the heart of pure devotee to the heart. And that's it, when you receive Bhakti, come, right? So yeah, definitely devotee association is very, very essential. If we do not value devotee association, then
that is setting our life.
When we're outside the company of devotees, we invariably compare ourselves to the rest of society and individual people. We pick up their traits, we become envious of what they have or don't have or how they live. When we're in the company of devotees, we invariably compare ourselves again to people, but now we're comparing ourselves to people of a different mentality than the material. And this forces our mind to become more devoted.
Very good. I can tell you something. One devotee, he was in management for a Ganesha quite some time in his son. And he was in a kind of situation where he had to take some decision which has to benefit one devotee who is very stubborn. The situation is, the teacher, you know, the head of the department, he came across some kind of, you know, request from the devotee which is kind of very contradicting to what he's supposed to do. Then this devotee in, you know, this department head, he's thinking, well, I should kind of, you know, banish this devotee out of my, you know, department. Anyway, I don't want him, because why he's becoming, you know, like this, his behavior is, you know, arrogant, and he doesn't know how to mix with other devotees. Because of his presence in my department, other devotees are disturbed. So I think this is good to get rid of the devotee. And we also, he has spoiled his name, nobody likes him in this center. It's like that actually. Nobody likes him in this center. So what I'm thinking is correct. Then this devotee, he went back and he thought to himself. He said, well, now I am thinking that this devotee has lost his reputation in the temple. He is not standing with anybody, and now he has created another disturbance in my department. That means he is a problem and troublemaker, so I should get rid of him. Am I envious to him? Then he is asking this question to himself. Am I envious to him or am I helping him? Then he said, well, if I am helping him, then what is the duty of the devotee? I should help him to come out of his gray area. Maybe he does not understand. In other hand, if I'm thinking, you know, just get rid of him, that means I'm just thinking he's a troublemaker, just get rid of him. I'm not a benefactor to him. I'm not his well-wisher. That means I am envious to him. Because he was a devotee in Krishna consciousness, that's why he could think like that. Yes, this is the confirmation. But if you were thinking like, you know, and the God, you know, well, you know, man, who bothers? Yes, this is the kind of the secret of being trained in Sanskrit education. And you understand the different interfaces of life, and also you understand how the spiritual activities they guide somebody to become a better person, and you also put yourself in that frame, then you see the happiness.
Then Krishna, before we go there are some understanding about this from Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Maybe we can read this.
Prakriti, Purusha and Chaitanya really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of God is known, however, how and why this actually took place. In the scripture, the Lord says that those attracted by this material nature are undergoing a hard struggle for existence.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains, how does the spirit soul become entangled in matter? Somebody else?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his commentary to verse 13 to 20, Krishna is telling Arjuna, with your tiny reason and power, you will never be able to ascertain how the spirit soul can be conditioned by matter. The simple truth is that this has been made possible by my inconceivable potency.
Anyway, that's another thing that we're not talking about.
through his little case to get this controversy that's been going on in this town for several years, has been going on even before ISKCON even existed, about how the Jiva actually fell down. Is that something that's been discussed for many generations?
That's what Prabhupada said. No, already we said, we don't have to worry about how you came here. Just you understand, you are here, you are in this critical situation. Like Prabhupada gave the example of when there is fire in house. The first thing you think is how I can rescue myself. The problem is, we do not recognize the urgency of spiritual practice in this lifetime. Because we are so conditioned, we are very used to the, you know, material thing. And we give much more emphasis to being with the material surroundings than to recognize the urgency of practicing Krishna consciousness. So this is what actually we are trying to remind you, that yes, it is very urgent for us. Now we have recognized, now this is our situation. Somehow or other, by reading this Bhagavad Gita, we understand this is how mind works. This is how I am conditioned because of my desire and activities. So, as Super Soul is there, he is guiding me. I should take shelter of the Super Soul by first submitting to a bona fide spiritual master and listening to the guidelines of sadhu and sastra. This is what actually we are trying to make you understand. Again. Yeah?
Cause of beginningless desire for objects made of the gunas, guna sangha. The meaning is this, the beginningless jiva is contaminated with beginningless imprints in the form of karma. Jiva desiring enjoyable objects because of its being an enjoyer will take shelter of prakriti equipped with the desirables which she offers to him. Until those imprints of karma are destroyed by devotee association, with the destruction of impression, he enjoys the happiness in the abode of the Lord.
Here, it shows the pretentious mentality of a conditioned soul. What this conditioned soul is doing? The jiva desiring enjoyable objects because of his being an enjoyer will take shelter of prakriti equipped with the desirables which she offers to him. In other hand, a pretentious person, he will just approach anybody for his sense gratification. Give me this Prabhuji, you know, give me that Prabhuji. Because he wants it. And maybe that devotee doesn't know if he gives and he misuses it, then that's it. So the point is, we have to understand what I am desiring. Is it going to help me in the practice of my Krishna consciousness? Is it actually elevating my consciousness or not? The activities and desires. Central point. Okay.
What's the reference? Where's this coming from?
This is coming from, I think, Balde Vidya Bhushan. Balde Vidya Bhushan's commentary.
Oh, okay.
This is, we have taken from commentary. Sometimes just to kind of give you some kind of, you know, understanding. By Balde Vidya Bhushan. That will be taken from his commentary. Anyway, just kind of, you know, looking at this subject from different angles.
The impression, is that what you call a samskara?
Yeah, you can say it like this. Correct. That's correct understanding. Yes.
How do we address the question if somebody argues that we can learn from the past? And they can learn the mistakes from the past.
But learn from the past doesn't mean that you repeat the same again.
Prabhupada is saying there's no input, you don't need to worry so much about how you got here. Something else is that we can learn from the past. Learn how to not make the same mistake again. Have you addressed
it? Just try to understand this much. Don't use this analogy to catch me by some other way. Now there's a boil in your hand. It's burning like anything. Okay? You go to the doctor. Would you spend time, Dr. Sir, can you tell me how did I get this boil in my hand? It is so much, you know. Yes, you know, I need to operate on this. No, don't operate, please, don't tell me. How did I get this boil in my hand? It's really paining me.
Okay. So then the different explanation about the understanding of the Supreme Lord is being explained in text number 25. Dhyana yogis, they see him through meditation, where knowledge is secondary element. And then Sankhyais, they see him by Jnana Yoga, and they consider meditation as secondary element. Nishkamakar means they see him by Nishkama Karma Yoga, knowledge and meditation included in it. This thing, when we come to 18th chapter, we'll understand better. Anyway, then finally, it is said, some others, those who are not conversant in spiritual knowledge, can begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Srila Prabhupada, he gives a very beautiful lecture about this. Can you read this?
Anye means general public, not very important men. So even if they do not know, they can hear. Just we are opening centers all over the world. Why? Just to give them the chance to hear. If people only come to these centers of spiritual knowledge, Krishna consciousness woman hears Bhagavad Gita as it is, without any so-called holistic interpretation, all grasped as it is, then they also can derive the benefit, so much so that they can also stop their repetition of birth, death and old age. It is so nice thing.
This is so nice thing. Yes, that's why Prabhupada, he has given us Bhagavad Gita and he has opened many centers around the world, and now devotees from different parts of the world are being trained and they are very much conversant with this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Anye, general public, they do not know. So they will get benefit out of it. This is the kind of, you know, these are also we carry in the institute, that many students will come here, they will study, they will understand our philosophy properly, they will be fully equipped and then go back and, you know, help in the centers. Yes, this is what Prabhupada's mood is. We have to help perpetual Prabhupada's mood in ISKCON. So then finally we come to this section where this Jnana Chakshu is described. Kshetra kshetra gyayor evam antaram jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha je vidur jantite param. Yes?
And can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature, being figures, being both.
So, kshetra, kshetrajnyor, jnanam. So, this is jnana chakshu. That means you understand how this body is constituted, what are the different ingredients, including mind, and you have understood the process of knowledge and you try to apply it, understanding this knowledge is actually helping me to extract myself from this material existence, then bhuta and prakriti moksham cha je vidur jantite param, then he will attain the Supreme Lord. The same thing which appeared in text number 19 is again being repeated here. Supreme goal means actually they will attain Krishna. So this knowledge is not like any kind of impersonalist they practice the knowledge to attain to the impersonal goal. But actually, if you understand the dynamics of this Purusha Prakriti and try to follow it according to Vaishnava understanding, then we are freed from the entanglement of this material world. Yes?
I have a question not on this topic. The thing which you discussed regarding that person who is in gray area. You told, am I envious to him or am I helping to him?
Mm.
also this is my comment. You can take a horse to the river, but you cannot force the horse to drink the water. And the second question is, how can we help that person who is in great need?
No, that person, that devotee, what did he do is, actually, this is a very, very nice question actually. You see, sometimes, you know, we talk philosophy.
Yes.
Philosophy can be spoken from heart and philosophy can be spoken from your mouth. Can you understand what I am talking?
Mm-hmm.
I am repeating this sentence. Philosophy can be spoken from your mouth and philosophy can be spoken from your heart. This is the realization of many devotees that when you accept something from the core of your heart, actually Paramatma is sitting there, he understands your intention. He actually helps. Anyway, so that devotee, what he sincerely thought is that, no, I don't want to be envious to that devotee, let me give him warning to rectify himself. At least, you know, I am trying to help him. If he is going to go out of the devotee association, then his life will be in total disaster. So why not help him by giving him another warning, why don't you rectify yourself, this is a very good chance. So that's how the devotee himself, he was convinced to himself that I am not at least envious to the devotee.
What
else
he was giving him?
There are some difference of opinion. There's some kind of, that devotee was coming out with some kind of, you know, some, yeah, difference of opinion you can say, which he cannot implement in the center. That's not actually possible. Here the central point you try to understand. Central point is how sincere you are to serve the devotees and help devotees to remain in the association of the devotees. That is the point, central point. Don't get carried away by other things. Okay. Then finally, Srila Prabhupada quote. Yes?
One who can see in the constitution of the whole material manifestation as this combination of soul and material element, and can also see the situation of the supreme soul, becomes eligible for transfer to the spiritual world. These things are meant for contemplation and for realization. And one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with your head in the way.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Prabhupada is watching. Thank you. So tomorrow...
The description of super soul, and where it says that I am present everywhere, my hands and legs are everywhere, very similar to what we read in the universal form. How is it different? Is it different from the universal form? And any one instance it says living beings are in me, in super soul. Living beings exist in the super soul. That point is not enough.
Okay. You see, universal form is a material form. Right? It is being described. So in that sense, Paramatma is localized aspect which is situated in the heart of the living entity. So in that way, they are two different. And super soul's duty is to, as we see, permitter, you know, and sanctioner, and also super soul is controller. But Vishwarupa or Viratarupa is not. And he is not permitting, giving permission to, you know, the living entity to satisfy their desires. And that's also material form. And this...
So he doesn't give permission, he doesn't give sanction. What
he yeah. Yeah, and also he that form is material form.
I do not quite understand how material nature is doing everything on certain things. kata is lower in here. I did not get the idea.
The central idea is Jiva wants to enjoy. He has a desire, but he cannot fulfill that desire. With the help of Prakriti, he is fulfilling his desire.
His condition was
in condition state.
Okay. Arjuna, in his question, mentions the word Purush. Is he referring to the soul, the individual soul? And if so, how does the soul, how can the soul be the enjoyer?
Yes.
The soul does, or any Krishna enjoys
it. In conditioned state, he wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. So in that way, he is also enjoying. What you are referring to is, in the liberated platform, his enjoyment is not the actual enjoyment. Rather, he sees Krishna's enjoyment is his enjoyment. But being conditioned, he wants to enjoy separately from Krishna, that's why he is also enjoying. When you mix up these two things, then you know, problem. Okay, so then tomorrow we will start with chapter 14, and in this section you have to submit two open book assessments. So one we will discuss tomorrow in great length. It will help you to kind of write this essay, I would say, even in that way, because I know you are coming closer to the end point. You might be running short of time because you have to memorize so many texts, so many things are there. So we'll actually help you to kind of, you know, get a complete understanding about how to write that essay. So tomorrow we'll discuss that essay and you can write that one. Then another one you can do from chapter 17, when you discuss that also that will be clear to you. So if you want to know, then you can see your book. That essay, I think, is the number one, is coming from chapter 14. So if you read that out, then come back tomorrow. We can also do some discussion, group exercise on that, so that you have nice understanding, and you can write that essay. And also, please read this whole 14th chapter by tomorrow. The point is, we do not go in details reading all the purport. You just, you know, go to the main point, and I can see your standard is very good. I'm very happy with this group actually this year. Yeah, number one. Yeah. Chapter 14, yeah. Number one,
Hare Krishna. Your assessment will be ready tomorrow. And, yeah. So please be ready for the next lesson. As I have informed also last time, should come prepared for the class.